following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Walgreens knows that Medicare prescription drug plan users feel good at the corner of picking up prescriptions and saving some money. Now we want to help you save even more. Just switch and save. This year at Walgreens, Medicare Part D customers could save with copays as low as $0 on select Part D plans. Stop in today and we'll do the rest. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
$0 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture. And you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available.
There is no place like Nebraska. Do you hold Nebraska?
This is a dream come true for me. You know, I grew up. All I ever wanted to do was be a Husker.
Back to throw is Tater, looking, holding, set, throws deep downfield, looking toward the end zone. The pass is caught. Touchdown. Kenny Bell pulls it in.
Ball is given to Fryer on an inside handoff. He's loose. The 20, the 10. Touchdown, Nebraska.
Hundley gets the snap. Husker send a blitz. Hundley steps up, gets in, goes down. Big sack by the Cornhuskers. Andrew Green on a corner blitz brings him down.
Second down and six. Martinez running, first down, Taylor Martinez. Oh, here he goes. Martinez can outrun him. Martinez at the 10. Touchdown, Nebraska. 92 yards.
That'll be back to throw, looking, throwing down toward the end zone as a man out there overshoots it, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Staley, Jean Baptiste in the end zone. The third pick of the night for the Husker defense.
Steve Taylor looks at the five-man Cowboy front, takes the snap, hands it off to Clark, cuts back left side, 30, 32, 33, 35, broke it, out across the 40, 45, he may go, 50, 45, 40, first place in scrimmage, 25, 20, 15, 10, touchdown! 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 Holy cow, unbelievable, the first play from scrimmage.
Martinez gets a shotgun snap, back to throw, Tater sets, throws over the middle pass, caught, Ben Cotton! Touchdown! And Nebraska has taken the lead!
Nobody's been more dominant than Nebraska. Nothing can compare to it.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those. Oh, they don't have him yet! Look at Tommy Frazier! How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown!
Martinez in trouble. Reverses. Trying to break contain. Martinez up the sideline. Still running. Look at him! Taylor Martinez! That throw pass, intercepted, Stafford at the 20, 15, 10, Damian Stafford down to the 4-yard line. The Huskers now with a chance to tie it at the Penn State 4. Snap back to McGloin, throws it out to flat to Lehman, the tight end, he makes a catch, Leach fumbles the ball in the end zone, Huskers recover in the end zone, it's a touchback.
Nebraska's thin up front, George is going a little tempo on him, he's trying to set a screen, and it's picked up by Will Compton, he'll take it to the house, touchdown.
High formation for the Huskers. Zimmer is the fullback. Burkhead the deep back. Play action fake. Tater back looking deep downfield. Has a man out there. The pass is caught. Touchdown. Quincy Inunua. His first 6 points of the year.
Play clock's getting close. Let's see if Taylor's going to be able to get it off. He does. Martinez. Jones was after it. Fired to the end zone. Touchdown, Nebraska. It's Jamal Turner.
From the 20. High formation. Cross the deep back. They give it off to Amani, right side. He's got a first down, 15-10. Amani crossed it to 5, banging his way into the end zone for a touchdown.
Just to buckle it up one time and see what it feels like to wear that N on the side of your helmet. Because I tell you what, when you got that helmet on, you don't feel like there's anything that you can't accomplish.
Twins to the far side. Huskers do send a blitz. Here comes Compton. Hit it from the outside. They hit Bellamy. Bring him to the turf at the 20-yard line. Ciante Evans with a sack for the Big Red. O'Brien turns. Hands off Monte Ball. Hit it in the backfield. He stopped. He's short of the first down. Huskers
6. Thompson now dropping straight back. This one is intercepted by Tomjak. Jeff Tomjak.
Oh, I like that stance.
So he'll get the handoff. It is Hoffman. Hoffman to midfield.
He's got another gear.
They are not going to catch him. Jack Hoffman to the end zone. Husker
touchdown. Super duper awesome. Thanks for the trophy. I'm glad that you are all now on Team Jack. And I know with you, we can't lose. Thanks.
Oh, there truly is no place like Nebraska.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. 1 week ago today, we got to, come on the air for a few minutes after Nebraska's Gator Bowl victory against Georgia. And 1 week now that the season has gone by, we are going to be in just a few minutes talking to our friends and great Husker knowledgeists in Mike Babcock of HailVarsity.com, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, and Sean Callahan of Husker Online, and of course the Big Red Report. And we see them and talk to them frequently here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And for about 30 minutes, or as long as they can handle it, we're going to be talking Husker football. So different than this football team that we had at the University of Nebraska to start 2013. We'll go through it. We'll ask about Amir Abdullah. Do you think he will stay with the program? He has to make that decision by Wednesday. Maybe who's looking at the secondary, the defensive back coach job that Terry Joseph vacated. Will Nebraska advance next year? Will they be a top 25 team? How will that quarterback battle stack out? Is it Tommy Armstrong's to lose, or do Johnny Stanton and others have a definite shot at coming in? Zach Darlington, Riker 5, will they even be in the mix next year? What's the biggest question mark that this team has going forward? And we will touch on that. And you know what, folks? We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us, Facebook us, email us. If you've got a question for our panel, we'll try to fit a couple of them in during our time today as time allows. You can send us on that subject or any subject. Of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. That's at ESPN 1460 1550. Our Facebook is ESPN Superstation. Oh, it's good stuff. Good stuff. You know what? While we kind of get things organized, we've got a couple things we want to touch on. Plus, at the end of the program today, it's Thursday. We always talk fantasy football. Fantasy football season over, even though you may be doing some playoff fantasy football on various websites. But today, the Fanatics Fantasy Football Grand Prize winner will be drawn out. We had 17 winners. One of those was not able to utilize if they won our Super Bowl party. So 16 of our champions will be going into a hat, and we will draw out the winner of the $200 Super Bowl party at Fanatics, and we'll do that at the end of the show. Plus, we've got all kinds of tickets, a couple of things going on next weekend, including the Central Nebraska Home and Builder Show in Grand Island. We've been giving away some tickets to that. Today, we're going to give you a chance for the first time here in 2014 to win tickets to the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. Tom Hamilton will join us Monday on the show. We've been working in partnerships with these folks for a number of years, and this goes on at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs. Friday the 17th through Sunday the 19th, and these tickets are $9 tickets. We give them away in family four-packs, so you're getting about a $36, $40 value. Free parking goes along with this. It's 4 to 9 on the 17th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 18th, and 10 to 4 on the 19th. And right now, I want to give away our first family pack to the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo just for being with us right off the bat here on this Thursday. Producer Jeff is standing by. He's going to give away two family four packs to the Hunting and Fishing Expo. If you've not won anything this week, because we've been giving away quite a few things, we'll give you a chance. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Call now, and we will get you some Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo family four-pack. A couple of things to pass along. Since yesterday's show, you've heard all about the controversy and the awesomeness of the Hall of Fame. And Tom Glavin, Greg Maddux do get in. Also getting in Frank Thomas, Craig Biggio. What a gut punch there. You're two votes shy of getting in. You hope that just means next year he's a shoe-in. But one of the greatest, along with Jeff Bagwell, in Houston Astros history, Craig Biggio just misses out. Then the whole Dan Le Batard saga. I like the question today that was posed to him on Mike and Mike. Had Le Batard gotten a psychotic ballot back from Deadspin, would he have signed his name and turned it in? He said probably not. He goes, I'm not sure, but he says probably not. If you had guys, you know, if it said Luis Gonzalez, Hideo Nomo, and, you know, Don Mattingly, would you have sent that in? And I think the answer is no there. Johnny Manziel went pro yesterday as we were here on the air. Jay Gruden's going to coach the Washington Redskins. That's the news this morning. Bobby Petrino to Louisville. Also a change at the University of Michigan. Doug Nussmeier will take over as the offensive coordinator. He's been at Alabama, so that's a heck of a get up there in Michigan. Yesterday, Michigan fired Al Borges, their offensive coordinator, after a 7-6 season and ranking 86th of the nation in offense. He just kind of had to jump on the grenade there. Somebody had to do something up there. Everybody was complaining. It was kind of like getting rid of Sean Watson a couple of years back. Everybody was upset, so they did do something, and Sean was axed on that. Brent Qualley and Ciante Evans will play in the NFL Players Association Collegiate Bowl, and that game is in Carson, California on January the 18th. Hastings men and women both beat Nebraska Wesleyan last night, and they will advance to Sunday's men's game hosting UNK. UNK is home tonight. Take on Northwest Missouri State at 5:30 and 7:30. The Husker women are at Michigan State on the Big Ten Network at 6 o'clock. Michigan State's women are 9-5. And the Nebraska men will be hosting Michigan tonight at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. It's also on the Breeze 94.5 and ESPN2. Our winners are Jeff in Kearney and Eric in Shelton. Thanks, guys, for being part of the show today. They're going to the River City Hunting and Fishing Expo next weekend in Council Bluffs. A little high school hoops tonight here on ESPN. Wood Rivers at Kearney Catholic. On 1230 KHAS, St. Cecilia boys are at Gretna. And on Classic Hits 98.9, Donovan Trumbull is at Ravenna. And the Tri-City Storm beat Omaha for the first time this season last night, 2-1. The same two teams meet in Kearney tomorrow night. We'll take a break. And when we come back, it's our Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Redefine yourself with the new ReFirm Now, because no matter who you are, now is the time.
I'm taking the new ReFirm Now from Complete Nutrition because I want to be there for my kids when they get older.
I've lost 15 pounds and I feel amazing.
With the help of Complete Nutrition, their products and approach, my husband and I are taking control of our lives and our weight loss together.
Now I won't ever lose control of my weight or my health.
Now after losing 10 pounds in 1 month, I have my confidence back.
Reach your resolution with the help from Complete Nutrition. Become a preferred member. It's quick, easy, and free. Save 22% on all new programs like ReFirm Now and everything else in the store. Come in today and receive a free sample of the brand new ReFirm Now Appetite Control Mix exclusively at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
In 1942, Eleanor flipped her wig about Geico saving her moolah on her motor insurance.
Hey, man, in 1969, Ace saved enough dough with Geico to go to Woodstock. His only memory, the savings.
In 1984, Stephanie, like, saved, like, majorly on her car insurance with Geico. It was, like, so totally righteous.
Over the past 75 years, the expressions have changed, but one thing hasn't. Saving money with Geico.
In a perfect world, every meal would be at Buffalo Wild Wings. But sometimes, you just can't get here. That's why we're bringing some of the best of wings to you with Buffalo Wild Wings Takeout. Now, whether it's for you or you and your whole office, you can bring our hand-spun wings, 16 signature sauces, 5 seasonings, appetizers, burgers, desserts, and more with you. And don't worry, the minute we figure out how to fit our big screens and craft beers on tap into the trunk of your car, we'll let you know.
Takeout for any party, any size. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer.
More exciting high school sports action comes your way this week on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. High school basketball here on ESPN Radio Thursday has the Kearney Catholic Stars hosting Wood River, and Friday, Kearney High will host North Platte. On 1230 KHAS Thursday, the St. Cecilia boys are at Gretna. Friday, Adams Central's at Arcadia Loop City. And on Classic Hits 98.9, Thursday, Donovan Trumbull's at Ravenna. Friday, Kearney Catholic's at Grand Island Central Catholic. And Saturday afternoon, it's the finals of the Amherst Wrestling Invite.
We'll see lingering cloud cover, followed by partly sunny skies later on today with a high of 38. The south winds will stay from around 5 to 15. Tonight, there's a slight chance for freezing drizzle developing late with a low of 23. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 19.
On a Doug and Daddy show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. When you look outside and you see the cold and the snow, you're not thinking a whole lot about putting those crops in the field for 2014. You're thinking about getting ready to do it, though, and TNL Irrigation Systems say schedule your maintenance, preventative maintenance today on your center pivot, because performing basic maintenance in the off-season will pay you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent TNL dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. TNL Irrigation Systems, easier on you for a lifetime. Our Husker Roundtable with Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, and Steve Sipple. And first off, always want to thank you guys for the time, and especially on a day like this where you give us about 30 minutes of your day and the big paycheck that corresponds with it. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Morning, guys.
Great to have you. Great to have you on. I was going to start with something reminiscent here, and I looked at all the websites, and I tried to keep up to date with everybody, and nary a mention that this is the 10-year anniversary of the hiring of Bill Callahan, gentlemen.
And so our response to that is what? I put away all my, the New Year's Eve kind of stuff, the clackers and everything that makes all the exciting sounds to bring in the New Year, so I can't really respond to that probably in an appropriate way.
Well, Sean, you've got some actual breaking news for us today. When we talk TNL, we always talk recruiting, and it looks like the Huskers have just in the last few minutes picked up a new one. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, wide receiver out of New Orleans, Ed Nakar. Nebraska actually already has a commit from there, Javion Walton. Kid named Jariah Tolbert, who, really we didn't have a whole lot of information on, had some other offers from, like, MAC programs and whatnot, but a guy that, I think one of those under-the-radar guys in New Orleans, an athletic guy, 6'4", 190, so definitely has the physical ability. And Ed Nakar is arguably one of the top programs in the entire South.
So a new recruit. We'll let folks know more about that. And, of course, you can go to all the websites and keep up to date with Nebraska's latest commit. Also, kind of breaking here in the last hour from a Big Ten standards, James Franklin appears to be the new head football coach at Penn State. Sip, any thoughts on the newest coach in the Big Ten?
Well, it's an interesting fit. And my immediate question, well, I'm a Penn State person. I wonder right away, how long are you going to be there? He's 41. He's a charismatic guy. I think he'll keep climbing. I mean, I think the NFL will keep coming after him, and it'll be kind of an annual story if he's winning, whether he'll be there or not. And if you're comfortable with that at Penn State, that's great. He's probably – I've always thought you just go after the best guy and then worry about that stuff. If it comes down the pike. So, hey, he's dynamic. His record speaks for itself, and I think it's a pretty exciting hire in Happy Valley.
We're getting our Husker Roundtable underway here with Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, and Sean Callahan on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's start it off, I guess, with how different this team was going into the Gator Bowl than what they were taking that field in August and against Wyoming in the first game of the year. Mike, you've been around as long as anybody. Have you ever seen a season quite like this?
No, not really. Although, again, as we've often talked, the instant communication that we have now with social media and so forth really emphasizes the things that Nebraska had to deal with this year. But, I think you have to give Nebraska a lot of credit because of what it overcame to win nine games. I think that's a significant thing. And what I don't like to see is this kind of attitude. It's a little bit like gymnastics scoring, you know. It's nine wins, but we still have to hold up the cards, you know, one through ten. Was that a 10-9-win season? Was it a 9-9-win season? You know, some people were holding up cards that said five on it. You know, somehow they weren't happy with that. And I think that you have to take it at face value and put it in the context of what Nebraska accomplished given all the things that happened.
Sean, when you look at this football season, what's the best thing that came out of it for the Huskers?
Well, I think the best thing would be just the number one, the growth and development of that defense. When you think about where they were at after non-conference, UCLA, South Dakota State particularly, I think at that point, with Taylor Martinez being injured, if you would have said this team was going to get to nine wins after what we saw from that defense, most people would have called you crazy. So I think the way that defense came together to be ranked 36th nationally, I don't know where they finished after the bowl game, but from 106 to 36, and they returned that entire group of guys. I mean, that was quite an accomplishment and a coaching job I thought they did of the defense. And also just the valuable reps that Tommy Armstrong was able to get. It was obviously not good that Taylor Martinez was out for really all of this year. But the one positive is you give Tommy Armstrong, I think, 8 starts. He goes 7-1 in 8 starts. His only loss coming to Michigan State. And that's experience you really can't put a price tag on.
Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, your thoughts on where this football team was at the end of the year and how Bo feels about his football team at the end of the year.
You guys got to I wish I could supply an opposing viewpoint here. There's a lot of too much positive talk here.
get on the chat board, my friend.
I'm Mr. Propaganda, so I'm not going to supply the negative viewpoint. But I like what those guys said. I thought the team responded well. I thought Sean's right. There was a point in the season where the defense was playing bad enough that, you know, you had all kinds of, I don't know if you're like me, you had all kinds of weird thoughts. When that running back at South Dakota State was running up and down the field in the first part of that game I thought, you know, this team will be lucky to finish 3-5 in the league. I mean, we might be looking at 2-6 team. That's how, you know, it was playing. Think about it. I mean, you got to go, it's hard for people to do it. You got to take yourself back into a moment of time. But the first quarter of that game was horrific. So, I mean, I'm really impressed by the way, you know, I'm impressed by the patience everybody showed, starting with the coaching staff. They didn't take any shortcuts with that defense. You know, Bo said it. He knew they were going to take their lumps, but he believed the best thing in the long run was to stay the course and not take shortcuts. And that couldn't have been easy to do, given the withering criticism and the angst and, you know, what happens when Nebraska looks bad. It's like the world's caving in around us around here. So I really, really applaud the patience they showed. And it was basically rewarded. They were playing pretty good defense by the end. And now what happens, because they didn't take shortcuts as they head into spring, and with kind of a full head of steam with a lot of young guys, which is the polar opposite of what happened last spring.
Mike Babcock, Steve Sippel, Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio for our year-end Husker Roundtable. It would seem to me the most significant, now that we know that Coach Pelini will be back, the most significant piece of news we will find out here in the next 6 days, and that's whether Amir Abdullah stays with Big Red or if he tests the NFL and decides to put his paperwork in. I got the sense that really nobody thinks he's going to leave, although he really left that door open in the postgame after Georgia. Sean, I'll start with you. Do you think he comes back? And if he doesn't come back, what does the running back situation look like?
Well, yeah, it's hard to tell right now because we've seen a record number of underclassmen already declare. I think yesterday morning it was at 80. You know, there were more that went out yesterday, so it's well over 80 now. I think there's at least 13 underclassmen running backs that have declared as well. So it's hard to know what he's thinking at this point, where he falls on that draft board, what the advisory board tells him. But the facts are running backs don't get picked in the first round. I think last year there were four or five that got taken in the second and like one or two in the third round. That's really as high as you're going to go. If he's told second, fourth round grade in that range, that's about as high as he's going to be told even a year from now. So that's what he's going to have to waiver and decide on if he gets that type of grade. And I think there's a good chance he would fall in that third to fourth round range. I don't think he's a second rounder, but the one knock he's going to probably have are those fumbles that he's had in key situations. You go down his career, he's probably had about seven critical fumbles in key games. You can name four or five this year and at least three or four in previous seasons where you can't make those fumbles in the NFL because they cost you football games. I'm sure that's one thing scouts will look at. But if he is gone, I have a lot of confidence that Adam Taylor off a redshirt year is going to be fine. And you have Amani Cross, who said at the bowl game he's coming back. Harold Newby, who got some good reps. We just confirmed today that King Frazier, the walk-on out of Kansas City, has transferred now to North Dakota State. So they did lose another guy as well today, but it'll be interesting to see what Amir decides to do.
Sip, what do you think? Are you pretty confident he'll be back?
I don't have a great feel for it. I mean, I think I just take the easy route and say it's about 50-50, and that's what it might be. Now, what I would say, I agree with Sean's comments to a point. I would say that if Amir were to go, his replacement as the every down guy better be better than just fine, because Amir is better, much better than just fine. They better get a guy in there that you can count on to get 1,000+. And I don't know if they got it. I haven't seen a guy. There's no proven guy that can get you 1,200 yards. I haven't seen that. I like Amani a lot. I like Amani Cross. I think he's a good running back. I don't think he's an every down running back. Terrell Newby hasn't showed that he can run 250 times in a season. He hasn't shown that he can pound it between the tackles in key moments. So what's like Sean referred to Adam Taylor. You hope that Adam Taylor is that guy. So it's a gigantic story because of that. And you know what? Taylor might be that guy. He's got the physical prowess. And I was talking to James Dobson in Jacksonville. Dobsonville says he's got a high degree of want to. And you can say, well, doesn't everybody? No, they don't. There's different degrees. Mike, Sean have covered guys that are awesomely talented but don't have a high degree of want to. He does, and he might be that guy, and that'll be one of the most interesting things of spring ball is to watch him with the one offense.
Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity. What a year that Abdullah had. He had to carry the load after, obviously, Taylor went down and waiting for the maturity of the young quarterbacks. Fourth best rushing season in Nebraska history. That's saying something, though. Where does Amir stack right now with some of the greats?
Well, he's in the conversation. You know, that's the thing that, in his case, he's obviously a difference maker. And the thing that was good, I guess, is that the numbers – you know, a lot of people just look at the numbers. Well, he had almost 1,700 yards rushing, and where he fits into the all-time list because of the numbers. But you know, when you see him play, he's more than the numbers. I mean, he's a guy that makes plays, and he's a difference maker. When the situation calls for it, he steps up. And Sean pointed out he's had some fumble problems. I think Amon Green had some fumble problems too when he got to the NFL. The thing I think about Amir, and Sip wrote a column about this not too long ago, kind of like Amir has to consider the pounding that he takes down after down, and you've only got so much in you, and so if you look at it as what I have still in the tank there, you know, I want to give it a shot in the NFL. I think that's what it's going to come down to, and I think it's probably a 50-50. Proposition, as Sip said right now, because of that consideration. Because if you look at the other things, I mean, he wants to get a degree. I mean, he's a committed student. He comes from his family values are in place. But it's that pounding, and that's what made him such a good guy in that offense. The other thing I would say is that, a difference maker, obviously, but the pieces around him, what you want to feel is that Nebraska has the opportunity to have the kind of offense where that one guy like Amir Abdullah isn't going to just make the offense. He's going to be the guy that makes the difference in that offense. And so it'll be interesting to see how things go in the competition at running back, were he not to come back, for sure. The other thing is how the other pieces of the puzzle, that is that offense, come together so that, you've got that difference maker, but you've also put him in a position where the difference matters.
Talk with Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, the next spot we need to look at is at quarterback. Sean, is it Tommy Armstrong's to lose, or how big of a battle will we see in the spring? And will Zach Darlington or Riker Fife or anybody else even be considered, or will it just be Armstrong and Stanton?
Well, I think Armstrong and Stanton are, going to have the biggest advantage, but don't count out Zach Darlington. Riker Fife's going to get looks as well, but we had Zach Darlington on Big Red Wrap Up last night or Tuesday night, and if there's any question about where he's at and, mentally and stuff, he blew us away on the show. He was the sharpest recruit we talked to all season. I transcribed up his interview, and his final statement talking about his goals was 420 words long. I mean, he is a well-spoken leader, was honored at the Semper Fi All-American game as the Leadership Marine Award they gave out there. He's been practicing on the scout team for over a month for his senior season, and he has the intangibles, kind of like a Rex Burkhead type guy. So don't by any means rule out Zach Darlington. He fully plans to come in here and compete and practice. Now he's going to be limited in contact, but every quarterback's limited in contact. You don't let the quarterbacks typically get hit anyway at a Division I program. So I think sitting out this year has helped him, but obviously when you look at the reps that Armstrong got, that is a huge, huge advantage that, when he started 8 games, went 7-1. I mean, those are all things you can't ignore.
Sip, what do you think on this quarterback battle?
I think it's Tommy all the way. I really do. I really am bullish on him. I think he could be really good. He's interesting to me. He's an interesting quarterback because he's not, he's not a big-time athlete. I mean, he's not super fast. Not super explosive, he's a strong kid, big strong kid. He's got the presence, and he's a good runner, and he's a tough kid, and he's a good leader, natural leader. I mean, like Cole Pinsick said after the game, he's a born leader, and I believe that. He had rough times this year. There's no doubt about it. He didn't look good against Purdue, didn't look good against Northwestern, really struggled against Michigan State, but there were other games where he did look good, looked solid. This season, like Sean said, is going to help him a lot. And it gives him the upper hand. And I think he'll be the guy. And I think he's going to be really good. I think the kid will be very solid. I don't think he's going to get you beat very often. And I think he'll win games like he did at Michigan because of that toughness. He doesn't crack. And, he had trouble reading defenses and all that. But he's not going to crack because of the moment. I mean, he showed that in the bowl game. Going into that game, he had a lot to prove in that game, and he handled himself about as well as he could have done it, and not turning the ball over in those conditions and making plays. I think they got their quarterback.
Mike, you've seen it didn't used to be this way. If you got to play more than 1 year at quarterback position, you were something special, but that's not the norm anymore. Just over the last few years, what do you think Tommy's freshman season looked like compared to some of the other young quarterbacks Nebraska has had?
Well, he was thrust into an unusual situation because, you don't go into the season thinking you're probably going to get a whole lot of opportunity because you've got a fourth-year starter there at quarterback. I think that affected the way he developed his experience. And I agree with Sean and Sip both on that he obviously has an advantage over the other guys going into the spring practice. But the thing I would like to think, and I'm pretty sure that the coaches will approach it this way, is he's going to have to continue to win that job on a day-to-day basis in the spring and again in the fall camp, because I don't think that – if anything was learned from this season from the outside, it is that you can't take anything for granted. I mean, we didn't think that Taylor Martinez would not be the quarterback barely into the season. You know, he gets hurt and he's lost, and you press Tommy Armstrong and Ron Kellogg into service and give him the opportunity. So if Tommy has the advantage and he emerges in the spring and again in the fall through competition, you still want that competition with Johnny Stanton, with Zach Darlington, with Ryker Fife. You want those guys pushing, and you want them to believe that they have an opportunity to be the quarterback. Tommy has the experience, and so he's got an advantage over those other two guys. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of how you're going to evaluate. If he doesn't perform, he's not going to be the guy. So I think he showed that. You know, he certainly fit into a tradition of young guys that kind of stepped up. But his situation was a little bit different than Turner Gill and Tommy Frazier, guys like that, because of the situation. The injury situation changed everything, and I think it put probably more pressure on Tommy Armstrong to be prepared to step in and do the job.
We're well into the second half of our Husker Roundtable here with Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan. It only gets better, folks. We've just confirmed that Coach Billy C. will be calling in before the top of the hour, and tomorrow Jared Crick is in studio, so don't miss that. I want to ask you guys a couple of more questions before we get out of here, and maybe everybody will have a little bit of a different answer. Mike, I'll start with you. As the team sits right now, what's the biggest question mark going into spring ball?
Well, I mean, the obvious ones are the quarterback, the running back situation, whether Amir comes back, that's a big thing. But for me, I have the same, I sound like a broken record, I have the same thing. To me, the most important thing is how that offensive line develops, how you replace those senior guys, how you build an offensive line, and the same way defensively, because I think it's important. The guys up front, that's what's going to determine how you're going to be successful, and it's going to have an impact on all the other things, all the more high-profile competitions probably, but how those lines develop, that's the important thing, offensive line and defensive line.
Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, number one, is figuring out what you want to do at quarterback. I don't think it's ideal to go in that opener and not really have a good idea who's going to be the guy. You hope that with spring ball and fall camp, they'll make it a hard decision there, because it's not going to be easy. Tommy's got the advantage, but if the other guys play well, you know, that's going to make things tougher. Another big key still is Amir Abdullah if he comes back. But yeah, you mentioned that offensive line. A big piece of the puzzle is Alex Lewis. I think if he is eligible, and I believe he will be eligible, that's your starting left tackle. In fact, I talked to some of the current players on the team just recently, and they've been able to meet Alex Lewis, and they said physically this guy looks the part. He's ready to go, and I think he's as big as any recruit for Bo this year. Now that legal case has been dropped down to a misdemeanor, I fully expect him to be eligible to play, and he could be a key linchpin on this offensive line when they lose all those tackles like Quali, Searles, and Rodriguez.
Sip, anything different in your mind? I know we're going to probably – it might be Bondi, but they're also going to need to find a kicker again.
Yeah, Pat Smith was really good. I wouldn't rule out that offensive line being better. I don't think – I mean, I'm not as worried about it, especially with Alex Lewis perhaps playing. I think they're fine in the middle of it. I think the guards and center are strong. And, I mean, right now I would be comfortable going in a game with them. Now, if you have Alex Lewis – who's proven, a proven player, proven entity. You have Zach Stirrup, who's got, I think, great potential. I mean, he was thrown into the fire and responded pretty well. And I think Neville is going to be a big-time player before it's all over. Now, I don't think it will be too far down the road. He's been here now a year. And they, again, talk to Dobson. He's another guy that they believe in. I mean, he's a hard worker. He's a big-time athlete. They got to continue to put – you know, he's got to develop his upper body, but he's a tackle now. So you got those three guys. I like the way those three guys
I like the thought of those three guys. I think they're going to be fine out there. I'd say the corner and nickel spots may be my biggest concern. What happened in that bowl game? If you got problems in the secondary, like Mark Rick said, they can be monstrous, and Quincy Enunwa showed that in that game when that freshman safety didn't get over there, and it broke George's back. So I think, you know, the corner and nickel spots, they need some big-time athletes to emerge because some big-time athletes are leaving, and that's where I'll look pretty closely. I'm not worried about quarterback. I see, I'm a little different than Sean, for sure, and Mike to a degree. I think they got their quarterback. I think they got a quarterback for the next few years.
Well, we've all learned, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, Sean Callahan, that we can't assume anything, especially after the way this year went. But if Tommy, let's say, wins that quarterback job solid there and Amir comes back, all the fans obviously want to know. Nebraska's just outside the top 25, 25th in the coaches' poll. A couple of the things I've seen already suggest that Nebraska may not be in the preseason top 25 next year. With what they have coming back, as we just stated, and I'll start with you, Sip, is this a top 20 football team next year, top 10, not in the top 25? What are we looking at here?
If Amir comes back,
yeah,
I think that I don't know how you could keep him out of the top 25. I don't quite understand that ESPN poll I saw where you have Georgia number 11 and Michigan State the top 10. No, I think Nebraska's, if Amir's back, they're easily a top 20 team, in my opinion. They're going to challenge. I mean, they're going to challenge for the division, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them play for the Big Ten title. I think they got that kind of personnel coming back. So I regard them definitely as a top 20 team, no-brainer if Amir's back.
Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt they have a top 25 roster, maybe even a roster that could push the top 20 to 15. But a lot of the pollsters have been burned by pumping up Nebraska the last few years, and they want to see Nebraska prove it before they put their good name behind ranking Nebraska high. I mean, there's just been too many times these polls have had Nebraska high, and this is supposed to be the year, and they've not been able to do it. And a lot of these guys that do the polls now say, you know what, until Nebraska proves they can get out of this 9-4 purgatory and get themselves to that next level. They're not going to, you know, put Nebraska in that upper echelon until they can consistently win and not turn the ball over and make the mistakes that have put them in there. But I do like the team they return. The one thing I look at now, though, guys, is the road schedule. There's five very tough road games on there. You think about going to Fresno. You think about playing at Michigan State, at Wisconsin, at Iowa, and at Northwestern. Not one of those is an easy game on the road, and that will ultimately probably be what decides this season, how Nebraska plays, and some pretty tough road games.
Mike, I know we're just guessing, but that's what we do in the Doug and Daddy Show. Ceiling, basement for next year's team is what?
Well, you know, the ratings thing bothers me at this point because Nebraska is not really in the national conversation. That's the thing. And, you know, that's a difficult thing for people to accept. Now, does Nebraska have the opportunity to be a top 25, top 20 team? I think I agree with Sean and Sip. I think Nebraska has the talent to do that, but it has to prove something. You know, that there was a time when it was kind of assumed that Nebraska would be a top 10 team, and just where in the top 10, you know, it was a given because of the resume, because of what had happened, and Nebraska hasn't been in that conversation, and people get upset about it, and then they use that as a measuring stick. I think Nebraska has the potential to be in there and certainly play for a Big Ten championship. That needs to be, you need to take it a step at a time. That needs to be the first thing. You got to get into that championship game and win a championship and get in a BC bowl, you know, what would have been a BCS bowl now. That's a little bit different now. We've got a playoff. The whole that parameters change. But you got to get in that national conversation and take it a step at a time.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up with this. I'll ask each one of you guys one last question. It'll be different, and we'll wrap things up here. Mike, third year in the Big Ten. There'll be some new teams coming in for the fourth year. Are we finally going to say that Nebraska is settled into this new conference?
You know, I don't know. 3 years, but certainly that's one of the factors over the last couple seasons that people needed to take into account when you evaluate. It's different. There's changes, you know, how you recruit, how you play. And so I think that Nebraska now has some momentum within the conference, understands the dynamics of the conference better. So I think that's a positive.
Sean, Terry, Joseph, do you have a lot of rumors going out there that it may be somebody that's already been here? Your thoughts, who do you think gets the job?
Well, I don't really have a good read on things. I mean, the only guy I feel comfortable saying as a candidate is Marvin Sanders. And the one thing we've learned with Bo Pelini and coach hirings is don't overthink it. I mean, he doesn't really stray too far out of the box. He tends to go with guys that he's very comfortable with, that he knows. And Marvin, you know, when you look at it, makes a lot of sense, assuming the reasons why he left, the family and personal things that he had to deal with are all taken care of, and he wants to come back to Nebraska. I mean, there's still some things we don't know, but I think he makes the most sense. Because you kind of, I think you need a veteran, proven guy, somebody that has a little bit of a background and somebody that could even challenge Bo a little bit and have an opinion and a background to do that.
And Sip, has Bo got his cat back?
I don't know. I don't even know if he has a cat. I saw that. That was pretty funny.
What a year, though, Sip. I mean, It starts with, I'm talking image here. It starts with the whole Jack Hoffman great deal in the spring game, positive, positive, positive. Then all of a sudden, Nebraska fans get agitated. It bubbles over at the Iowa press conference. Then he comes back and is all smiles at the Gator Bowl, seems to be in good spirits the whole time, according to you guys that were down there. And then he actually throws a tweet out this week. Where is Bo at personally right now as he gets ready for his seventh season?
I don't know. I mean, I don't see him being much different than he ever has been. You know, he's just what he is. He doesn't think about, you know, he doesn't really, for better or worse, he doesn't worry nearly about how he's perceived as much as the rest of us seem to do. That's not, you know, he is what he is. He's just, I don't know, he's not going to change a whole lot. I don't think. And as much as people want him to, I don't know that he will. We'll see on that. But I don't envision it. But I don't think he needs to. See, I'm not in that camp that thinks that he's this menacing figure. I just don't get that. But whatever. And I gotta give Sean a little guff here. The purgatory comment I laugh at. I think sometimes what people need, you know, we got Nebraska's got to get out of this 9-4 purgatory as if it's some form of hell. What I think sometimes people need around here is a 4-9, and that'll show them what purgatory is, okay?
I didn't mean it like purgatory.
What's that?
I'm just going, we act like we're so put upon.
We're put upon that we got a 9-4 season. I guess I don't see it that way.
Well, I know everybody's happier if they go 14-0. It's just amazing. I don't know how that works. But, guys, we've hit the end. We'll let you get back to your days. We've been doing this for 9 years on the Doug and Daddy Show, and you guys have been there with us pretty much the whole way. We always appreciate your time, and Happy New Year to all three of you, Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, and enjoy the basketball game tonight, guys.
See, that's at 9. You're throwing out that 9 again. 9 years.
Well, see, next year's 10. We're going to look for improvement, guys. Have a good one, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right. See you guys.
See you. They're the best. Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, and from Husker Online, and our Big Red Report, of course, we had Sean Callahan. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we go into break. The Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. How did the Nebraska football team fare this year, in your opinion? The program took a step forward, the program stayed the same, or the program regressed? And I think this is a tough one to vote on because you have to take into account everything that happened, from the injuries to the games won that maybe they shouldn't have, to the games lost that maybe they shouldn't have. But what do you think? Program took a step forward, stayed the same, regressed? I guess my vote is stayed the same. I didn't see any major backwards. I didn't see any major forwards. You do get that silver lining of getting these young kids a lot more experience than they thought we would have had going into 2014. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're expecting to talk with former coach Billy C after this.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering cloud cover, followed by partly sunny skies later on today with a high of 38. The south winds will stay from around 5 to 15. Tonight, there's a slight chance for freezing drizzle developing late with a low of 23. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now, it's 19.
Welcome back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Again, thanks to Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, and Mike Babcock for being part of today's Husker Roundtable. Tomorrow, former Husker, current Houston Texan Jared Crick in studio. And we'll talk to Mark Manning, Nebraska wrestling coach. Next week, Jabba Chamberlain joins us on Tuesday. But ladies and gentlemen, it was 10 years ago today. 10 years ago today that our esteemed, at the time, athletic director Steve Peterson said, and I quote, "Less than 12 months ago, Super Bowl 37 featured two outstanding young football coaches. Both coaches were great offensive minds, leading their teams to the pinnacle of professional football in their very first season as coach. Today, I am introducing one of those great coaches as the next head football coach at the University of Nebraska. Bill Callahan has received acclaim from coaches, players, and football and recruiting experts from around the country at all levels of football. Coach Callahan's tremendous success in football, combined with his long and successful career in college, became a rare find. We're happy to have Valerie, Brian, Danielle, Catherine, and Jacqueline join the Nebraska family, so please join me in welcoming the new head football coach at Nebraska, Bill Callahan." And Billy C., one of the first appearances he made in Nebraska radio was as a guest. He phoned into the Doug and Daddy show, and every once in a while in his busy schedule, we get to catch up with him. Coach, it's great to have you on. Can you believe that was 10 years ago?
Well, you know, I actually forgot all about that. And, you know, I forgot I was even the coach there. And, yeah, we're just so focused on the task at hand. And that's winning a Super Bowl. You know, the big game here in Big D. But, yeah, it's good to be with you again. Yeah, I've had so many terrific memories, and, you know, with the Eagles and with the Raiders. And, you know, so many other teams that I just can't mention right now. But, yeah, I did remember that, and I did remember that news release. And, you know, Stevie P, my supervisor, was terrific. And, you know, he got my kids' names right. And that's the first thing about being a good – being a good athletics director, a director of athletics, is You know, they're getting names right, and he certainly did in that press release.
Coach, do you remember what you were thinking as you were being introduced 10 years ago today?
Well, I certainly do, if I can recall. It was, gosh, I thought there'd be more people here wearing bib overalls. And, you know, that was just something that was interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that the suit and tie had made it that far, you know, into the plains, you know, into Nebraska, into the cornfield. And, you know, and I'd read a couple of guys, even though they didn't write for the New York Times. But, you know, Steve Seipel, who I referenced earlier, or who you referenced earlier, being part of your roundtable Huskers. And I thought he would be, you know, holding the corn cob pipe. But, you know, he did not. He did not. But it was a miraculous time. And, you know, let me just say this. Not once in that news release did Mr. Peterson promise championships. I think that's something that gets lost in this whole thing. He referenced my recruiting. And I told you I'd be able to recruit. And I put together a top five class. And then, you know, things went from there. And I won't get into all that. But it was a good time. I just remember looking at all those cameras. And, you know, the first thing that hit me was the bib overalls. The second thing that hit me was, don't these people have something better to do? And obviously that wasn't the case, and I figured that out real quick because, ironically, it was years later, just a few years later, that they were looking at me and analyzing what I was wearing and you know, whether it was beige or off-white or cream sweaters. And those lunatics, those good Husker fans, you know, they just read into everything so much. And that's just what makes them so terrific fans.
Coach, I know you've only got a minute left here, and you've been a coach on two of my favorite football teams from a personal level, the Huskers, and now with the Dallas Cowboys. I thought maybe for a minute there, since the offense was doing so well this year for the Cowboys, and we all know that that old curmudgeon Kiffin, you know, he just couldn't handle his end. I thought maybe you'd be our next head football coach at Dallas. Are you disappointed?
It's always been a dream of mine to be a head football coach, and it's something that I've achieved a couple of times. And you know, whether I'm the head coach or not, people know who's calling the plays, and people know who gets the credit, people know who's driving the ship, and you know, it's this guy right here. You know, titles aren't that important, and we all know that. You know, and whether you're making $1 million or $3 million, as long as there's six zeros next to that first number, it's all relative. You know, it's all the same. And I still, you know, thank Nebraska from the bottom of my heart for the dollars they continue to give me. And, you know, I've cashed every check every week. And you know, I'm always thinking of my former supervisor, Tom Osbitt, and, you know, all the great things they did for me. But, you know, we're going to get it done here in Big D. And I do appreciate your support, Big D. A big double D. You know, we're going to get this done. We will see this through. Let me just say this. As the offensive coordinator of this football team, that there's only so much that I can do as this football coach. And especially when you're kind of hamstrung with a defensive coordinator who worked in the state of Nebraska, who's from Lexington. And, you know, those are the kind of things you've got to dealt with. And as I've said before, you can only play the hands you're dealt. You know, when you play Texas Hold'em Texas, you know, they hand you cards. This isn't Go Fish where you turn in a card or two. You know, you play the cards you are dealt. And that's what I did in Nebraska. That's what I did at Dallas. That's what I did in Philadelphia. That's what I did in Oakland. That's what I did when I was born and raised in the lovely city of the south side of Chicago. And that's what I'll continue to do here in Dallas. And, you know, you can blame me for everything, but it will never be the defense, whether I'm an offensive coordinator or whether I'm the head coach of a football team.
10 years ago today, he was named the head football coach at Nebraska. Now, of course, at Dallas. And Billy C., we appreciate the time. The last thought, do you watch the Huskers anymore, and do you have a fond memory or a memory that you still take with you from your days in Lincoln?
Well, in terms of whether or not I watch that football team, you know, I just don't have much time, you know, preparing every Sunday. And, you know, if that team gets good enough, you know, maybe they'll start playing on Friday night football games. That's a little tongue-in-cheek. But, Well, then I'd be a little more apt to watch, you know, during my Friday night television viewing. You know, they got that thing right now I watch, you know, TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday. Anyway, I forgot your question. Good. Looking back, you know, at my memories and things that I accomplished as a football coach of that football team, operating that football offense to high football levels. You know, there's one moment that sticks out. There's one moment in my mind that I just think back, and that was what we were supposed to do. It was certainly that game at Oklahoma, you know, when we were getting run out of that place. And, you know, I said, you know what, I came to Nebraska to run the fullback, and I certainly did. And Steve Krywall, I said, Steve, you get in there and you run that football. And he ran that football. I'm getting a little emotional here, you know, thinking about it. But he ran that football. And then I said, David Ditches, you get out there and you kick that football. And he kicked that football. And we avoided the shutout. It's those kind of things. When you play to win football games, and I'm going to coin that phrase, you play to win the game. When you go out and you coach and win football games, and even if you come up a little bit short, whether it's 1 point or in that case, 70 billion points, you are going to hang your head high. You have nothing to hang your head about. If you go out and you give it your all, and that's what we did. And Steve Krywall was a big part of that.
One of the greatest football coaches of the last decade at the University of Nebraska, Billy Callahan. Coach, don't stop believing, baby. It's great talking to you again, and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. And in that related tone, it has been an incredible journey for this football coach. And I do appreciate your time today. And just remember, you know, 10 years ago, this program, this Nebraska football program, was on the right track. And just ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? You guys, or 6 years ago. Gosh, that guy's been there a long time. You guys take care.
Take care, Coach. Thanks so much for the time. Billy C., only like he can be here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We appreciate him. You know, I think he still thinks they're in the playoffs down there at Dallas, so he had to get back to the film room and do some more coming up. Our final bit of business on the day is drawing our Fanatics Fantasy Football Grand Prize Super Bowl Party winner. We'll do that, and then I'm going to go rest in my furniture from Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering. I was talking to Mike last night. He says things are going great. It was a great Christmas season, a great 2013. They wish all their customers a happy new year and hope that they can take care of you for anything that you may need, whether it's a Lazy Boy recliner, whether it's a Serta mattress, any of the top brand names. Maybe you just need a new dining room set. They'll take care of you at Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering, brucefurniture.com. It's just right for you in Hastings, Kearney, Alliance, and Holdridge. Free professional delivery, free setup, free haul away, and easy credit terms. They are the place to be. Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering. We're back with another grand prize winner after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Fixing your own car isn't to everyone's taste, but if you like a little grease and sweat in your diet, AutoZone's got the parts and advice you need. If not, we know a place where you can get a nice carrot smoothie.
If your check engine light is on, let AutoZone check it for free. Then put your tax refund to work and fix it today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
See store for details.
What is focus? It's a wondrous sensation of clarity and alertness. It's having what it takes. It's owning the moment. It's keeping your head down, your eye on the ball, and knocking it out of the park. It's getting in the zone, keeping on your toes, on target, on top. Focus is staring the world in the face and saying, bring it. Focus is power. Focus is life. And 5-Hour Energy is focus. For more information, go to 5hourenergy.com.
Bauer, Shell Pepper, Posey, Babel, all just salt of the earth, honest people from the great city of O'Neill, Nebraska. And that's why, to wrap up the Doug and Daddy show today, we're going to have Jeff Babel, our producer of our show, who put everything together today and did a great job again, is going to draw out the grand prize winner in our Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. We had 17 weeks of it on the Doug and Daddy webpage at ESPNSuperstation.com. Each week there was a winner, a second place finisher, and then my entry and the rest of everybody else's. 16 winners are available for Super Bowl Sunday. One was not, so that's why we have 16 names that are in the hat. Randy Bushcutter, he made a wheel, and we were going to spin that, but it froze up in the garage. The pegs froze.
At that night, I didn't have the shape of the wheel right. That was
it was triangular?
Problem. Yeah, yeah, it didn't really work out so well. I don't know why.
You've been crying on
an engineering flaw.
All right, let's go. Let's draw it out. Somebody is going to have a $200 Super Bowl party at Fanatics, drawing out of this fine hat. Jeffrey Babel, the honest guy, has pulled out a name. And the winner comes not from week one, not from week two, three, or four, not from week 17 or 16, but the winner from Kearney in week nine, Keith Koppel. Keith is the winner. A week nine winner. Keith drawn out of the hat. Are we happy or do we want to redraw?
I think we're stuck with it.
Keith, you have
to think that that's the way it works.
You have to invite Jeff to your Super Bowl party because he drew your name out there.
I'll be honest with you. I was rooting for the female that had won earlier. I don't know if she's a young woman.
Well,
or
who doesn't root for the ladies?
I know. I just thought it'd be kind of fun just to show the rest of us all up.
Well, we did have guys, gals, young and old, all participating, and all were winners. And Fanatics and the gang at Fanatics all say congratulations. Thanks for entering. And I know they've been keeping busy. I popped in there the other night for a little pizza. Yum, yum.
Yeah. And again, not a bad seat in the entire place. And they do a great job of making sure that the game is on. I mean, they'll go from game to game to game. Been there Saturday nights for the college football things, and one game's done, get that one rid of, and move on to the next thing. You're not going to see the Weather Channel on any of the TVs there.
Guys, thanks so much, and we'll be talking as we get closer to the Super Bowl. I think we're going to talk with our winner. That's our plan. Find out what their plan is for the Super Bowl, and probably when we get closer to knowing the teams, we'll have the gang from Fanatics joining us as well to tell us about all the excitement.
Yeah, they got a lot of new things going on there. They have already started and opened up a new beer garden out there, but they're also expanding. So when you think of it as that small little place, it's not so small anymore. They're expanding, and it's great times for them.
Always good food, good friends at Fanatics on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. A couple of folks tweeted, emailed the program with our Husker Roundtable. Jamie, thanks for your Twitter question. Who will the next GA be since Joe Gans's term limit is up? Just before, not today, but before talking, I think that's wide open and up in the air right there. Nobody really gets a handle on that. Plus, you could have more than one GA. Nate, also on Twitter, he thinks there needs to be a change in our strength and conditioning and that is a major concern. That's an interesting take. I know that there were some columns written on that earlier in the year. The way Nebraska approaches practice is obviously different, and Coach Pelini has tweaked that numerous times during his tenure at Nebraska, trying to find the right take. And, of course, John talking about the recruits in there. We've got Kalen Balazs out of Colorado, the running back pal out of Florida. We'll talk more about that in upcoming shows here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We appreciate you guys for firing in your questions. We'll keep those on file because the next time we've got more Husker Talk, we'll revisit a couple of those. And I think that's going to wrap things up for the Doug and Daddy Show today. So let's get out of here. We want to thank Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, Sean Callahan, all for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Congratulations to Keith from Kearney, the winner of the Super Bowl party from Fanatics. And tomorrow, it's the Jared Crick Show, baby, and the Houston Texan, former Husker, and Cozad Haymaker live in studio, talking about what's going on with Houston, their new hire with Bill O'Brien as their head coach. We talked to him a month ago when they took care of and released Coach Kubiak. We'll talk more with the Crickster and what his future may entail with Houston needing to get back there for that third year. We'll also talk with Nebraska wrestling coach Mark Manning, a reschedule from earlier this week. Don't forget, next week, Jabba Chamberlain will join us on Tuesday, plus more chances to win tickets to the River City Hunting and Fishing Expo. Have a great Thursday, everyone. High school hoops tonight, college hoops, wherever you're at, enjoy it. We will see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.